May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did any of you happen to catch that today is the 46th anniversary of the opening of Walt Disney World? Anybody? Did you catch it, Hannah? I know that because I was looking up some things and recognized that it was 46 years ago today that Lillian Disney gave the inaugural address. You may or may not know that Walt Disney passed away 5 years before Walt Disney World was opened. Mrs. Disney was approached by an interviewer who came up to her and said, "It's too bad. It's too bad that Walt did not live to see this." To which Mrs. Disney replied, "He did. He did." See, that's the point, right? Disney was created first in Walt Disney's mind, and then years after he was gone from this earth, became the reality. Nothing is created without it first being conceived or seen in one's mind. The author of Momentum for Life, Mike Slaughter, writes, "The essence of faith is vision." Slaughter recalls the words of Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." He's remembering he's being inspired by that chapter 11 in Hebrews, which defines the hallmarks of faith, showcasing people of God who always stretched forward to accomplish wonderful things for God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Through the Holy Spirit, we have access to the mind of Christ, which enables us to have connection with the limitless ideas of God. This is the fourth in a series of messages on creating momentum in our lives, and we're working with that acronym DRIVE, from Pastor Mike Slaughter's book, Momentum for Life. You might remember that the D stands for devotion to God. R stands for readiness for lifetime learning. I is the investment in key relationships. V is for vision for the future. That's what we're speaking about today. And E is for eating and exercise. Aren't you looking forward to next week? I said that Disney World was the result of the vision of a man who did not live to see it become reality, but he saw it nonetheless. And in the church, that's often the case. Not only is that a fact, but in some significant ways, it's also the accepted and even anticipated in the life of a church. Ruth and I, while we were on vacation, we like to worship together. It's when we get to sit together and worship. And we went to church at Charlevoix United Methodist Church and enjoyed the fellowship there. And they were gearing up for a trip to Frakes, Kentucky for a mission trip. And I was reminded that it was 26 years earlier that Ruth and I began the first mission trip at the church we were serving at that time. It took 13 youth and another adult with us. And we worked there for an entire week. Frakes, Kentucky is really just a wide spot in a mountain road that used to be a school, and now it's a community center run by United Methodist, providing food, sometimes shelter, materials for building with. It's an incredible mission that we have as United Methodist in that place. And so we started that. And this past, and when we got back, it was considered a success, and we had started planning for the second one. But then this pesky bishop called me and said, "You're moving to a different church." So I was moved. And all that planning for that second trip to Frakes, Kentucky was taken on by others. And this past summer, they went for the 26th time. They've continued that tradition. It warms this pastor's heart that vision started 26 years ago is still a reality. But that's anticipated in the life of the church, that someday we may not see all the fruit of our labor. We certainly will not see the fruit of all of our labor in terms of the relationships we forged and then they forge with others and so on. That transmission of faith that happens among followers of Christ. As a people of faith, we believe that the sequence of developing a vision does not begin with human conception of an idea. The sequence is much more powerful. The sequence is receive, conceive, and achieve. And while much of what we need to make something happen in the world comes from within the minds of visionary leaders, there is first the sense that we do as a church involves God's guidance and holy nudging towards something great for God's kingdom. When we are in tune with God's will, then we receive a vision of the future based on God's specific purposes for our lives. We can check out that vision as to whether it's in accord with our study and understanding of Scripture, if it's in accord with our gifts and graces of the community of faith in which we find ourselves. Then the next step for us is to conceive the vision of our future. Conception of the future God desires involves our ability to internalize what God desires. When people come to me for counsel, I'll often ask them, well, what do you think God wants? What do you think God desires? What do you think is God's way in figuring out this issue? Pastor Slaughter writes about the prophet Jeremiah. He writes, Jeremiah was an effective prophet, but before God could use him, he had to formulate God's vision. And the first question God asked Jeremiah was, what do you see? People tend to live with two perspectives, either a microscopic view of life or a telescopic view. The microscopic view is based on your current circumstances, what you see and feel in the moment. You're focused on the immediate. When I began ministry, I was showing my mother around the church where I was serving, and I opened up the sanctuary door, and I heard this gasp behind me, and I thought my mother had slipped on the tile floor outside the sanctuary. I wasn't quite sure what was going on, and I turned and I looked at her, and she just stood there with her mouth dropped, and she looked and she said, "It's so tiny." It was a fairly large church, so over 700 members, but their sanctuary only fit right around 200. It was a tiny sanctuary. I didn't know better. It was my first ministry gig, so how what would I know? But I saw lots of possibilities for fun times with youth there. We had the youth. They had a small balcony. It didn't even fill up the whole back. It was kind of like a half balcony. It was kind of a strange concept, but that's where the youth started. They claimed that space for themselves. There was a movie during that time that was called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. If you know the movies, there's a part where the excellent is an important word to that movie, series of movies. So when I preached, which was only once a month, I'd try to use the word excellent in my sermons, and every time I did, the youth would stand up and do air guitar in the back. It was fun. I'll never forget the Sunday morning that a woman came in and said, "Jack, there's a paper airplane in one of the chandeliers of the sanctuary. I assume this is your work." And I tried to explain that, well, what we were trying to do is off the balcony was throw these paper airplanes to see how close we could get to the front of the sanctuary. Kind of an idea of how close we can get to God. A little competition, right? And then we talked about how do we actually get close to God, right? Well, one of them got wild and got up in the... It took them 3 weeks to get it down because they didn't know how to get it down. It was a high ceiling. But what some people see as confining and small, others might see as a place where we can relate to young people and youth and make it work for that into that space. People with a microscopic view of life focus on problems, and telescopic people see possibilities. Chris Valentin is a pastor at Bethel Church in Redding, California, and he wrote, quote, "Vision is what we see, but it's also the way in which we see. Vision is the lens that interprets the events of our lives, the way that we view people and our concept of God. If we have a scratch on the lens of our glasses, it may seem like everyone around us has scratches. But the problem actually lies with us because our vision is impaired. Jesus said that our eyes are the windows of our heart. Paul prayed that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. In other words, we perceive with our eyes, but we see with our hearts. Our minds receive images from our eyes, but our heart interprets those images. And if our heart becomes bitter or jealous or hurt or in some way infected, the lens of our heart is distorted. And what we perceive is happening and what is actually happening can be two completely different things. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. The use of that word truth is not referring to the Bible itself, although truth is rooted in the Bible. But here the word truth means reality. So what Jesus is saying, you will understand and what is real, and that will set you free. Once you're dealing with reality, you can be set free to deal with it. So many of us live in a virtual reality. The way we view life can feel and look real or make perfect sense, but still not be real at all. You ever watched a good movie and get so engrossed with it that after it's over, you kind of forget your surroundings? It happens to me when I go to matinees. You go to a movie and you go out in the light of day and it's like, ooh, it's still daylight out here. How strange. Reality, we have to be sure of what we're feeling, what we're experiencing is real. So we receive and conceive a vision that can lead us toward vital ministry. All that's left is achieve the vision. After the plan is established, goals must be set. Paul wrote to the Philippians, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Goals are simply the vision broken down into smaller pieces that are measurable in time and space. In other words, they are specified parts of the vision that we will accomplish by a predetermined date. Many people don't like to set goals because they think that if they're not able to accomplish them on time, they've failed. But the truth of the matter is, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. He writes, Valentin writes, great leaders know that setting goals is what gives the mission a sense of urgency. Urgency is a friend as it sets the pace for those who are carrying out the mission. The wisdom is used in goal setting. If wisdom is used in goal setting, then very little management is needed to motivate us, since we instill within us an inner sense of urgency. Now, we have to find balance between taking on too much, being so overwhelmed with big tasks, but we don't want to set goals so low that we lose that sense of urgency, that sense of moving forward. And when our vision is honestly birthed by God, then God will be delighted to direct our steps, we're told in Proverbs. Proverbs actually says, the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. Psalm 37 tells us, our steps are made firm by the Lord when he delights in our way. Though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong, for the Lord holds us by the hand. Steps are your day in, day out walk with God, that step by step, moment by moment, hour by hour decisions that we make each and every day. Decisions that take up our time and our use of our life. I've been thinking about God's vision for Central Church, and certainly we've made progress toward receiving and conceiving how we might be able to work with God to fulfill God's desire for our church. So much to do. So much has been done. So much more to do. Handicap accessibility has been greatly increased here. We have a mission statement that I believe does capture God's intent for our church and community. We've created a structure that matches that ministry. Is it perfect? No. But your pastor isn't perfect. And neither are you. Right? Can we accept that and move forward? We have to move forward and know that we've created something, that we're moving forward. As Methodists are fond of saying, we're moving on toward perfection, right? Beginning tomorrow night, we have a ton of new programs and studies beginning. We're in October. I've been anticipating October for months. Tomorrow night's the beginning. Well, tonight, actually. Tonight we have a new Bible study starting. It's a book study on defying gravity. Tomorrow night is our first spiritual direction time on Monday night. all these things that you can look up on our website or have been hearing about in our email newsletters and in our newsletters. Reverend Kathy and I are creating a new member class that will help people really truly understand the discipleship pathway as they join our fellowships. And I plan to meet with our key leaders by the end of this year and see how we might better connect our ministry to the actual needs of our community and our abilities here at our church. I'm delving into our mission of connecting with God, connecting with others, and changing our world with Christ's love. Where have we heard that before? We've already heard a scripture that where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, let me share with you the words of Helen Keller. Helen Keller said, "The saddest thing in the world is people who see but have no vision." May we receive, conceive, and achieve all that God desires for our church and for our world. And that's the word of God for the people of God today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.